This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
All right, that spacious speaker. I was going to finish up what he said. A few more comments. Then we got to reboot our computer system so Jay and I can even get on. So we're going to end this in 5 minutes. Go ahead and finish up with the last guy, and we'll go one more person. Chase.
Go ahead, Eric.
No, it's just great to hear your thoughts about that, Alex, about the importance of faith in God. And I think that, for people like me, I'm just a pizza guy, man. I make artistic pizzas. That's what I do. And I think the most radical thing people like me, your average guy, can do is try to have a good family, strong family, be a good member of your community, be a good husband, those kinds of things. And, things that we actually have control over. So much of this stuff is out of the control of the average everyday person, and I think that's why there's people like you and lots of other people out there doing what you do. But I think that for a lot of us, having strong faith and having strong families is probably the most radical.
No, absolutely, and I appreciate your comments. We're going to jump here, but it's not that I believe in God. God has shown me without asking over and over again, so I know God's real. So, yes, but my faith, it's not a faith. It's beyond faith. Faith's something you're not sure about, but you believe it. You don't need faith, son. Here it is. I told you real stuff there. And now, it's like a whole other game levels have opened. It's like a higher level game. You get bigger weapons. It's happened six, seven times in my life. The last 2 weeks, bigger weapons. I was just giving them. I'm trying to figure out how they work, though. It's kind of like, whoa, what's this thing? It's crazy. One more person.
Let's go to Marauder Magazine. Go ahead, Marauder.
Alex, hey Chase, thanks for having me.
Welcome, Marauder. Go ahead.
Last,
hey, got a lot of technical stuff. It makes you fun.
Yeah, no, it adds a little flavor and variety to the show. So last year, actually, I wrote an article. I self-published an online magazine, and I actually made a prediction that America was going to enter into a civil war, and there would be three modes, three main civil war to. Succeed. I'm sorry. I'm hearing some feedback. Is there something wrong with Hello?
Yeah. Go ahead. You predicted civil war.
Civil war. Yeah. So there would be three main modes of civil war. There would either be a succession. This is where somebody or some group decides we're going to leave the United States, and it could result in either the government coming back and trying to take the land with force. We saw this in Waco. We saw this in Ruby Ridge. It's almost like a standoff situation. Or if you are John Joe Gray, who in 1999 was arrested and then skipped on bail and lived on his property for, oh my goodness, like 14 years, and the sheriffs never came onto the property, but he lived off the land, essentially. It could be a never-ending standoff. So that would be succession. The second one would probably be internal conflict. The mode of revolution or civil war would be internal conflict, and this is where essentially two or more entities are fighting for control. And it could either be the U.S. government, or it could be two paramilitary groups, or it could be a paramilitary group and state government. It doesn't matter, as long as two entities are fighting for control over the country. And the last one is revolution, and this one is very unlikely to happen. However, it is a possibility nonetheless. If a group or groups of people, they want to overthrow the government, they would essentially do that. It would be like the American Revolutionary War.
Absolutely. So the globalists want technocracy where we're not independent. We can't produce food. So no matter what we do, we're dependent on the technocracy. That's how they plan on shutting down all three groups. So we have a revolution against their technocracy itself and a mass awakening to it. So we take back our power from the devices and our environment. So the revolution really is on the ground, not just politically, but growing farms, being good to our families, praying to God, all of that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, they are really, I have a feeling, you were spot on, and I think it was Joe who was before us. He said that COVID was kind of like an experiment to see how much the government can get away with, because all you have to do is plant a seed of doubt or plant a seed of trust.
Oh, the central banker of Bahrain or whatever said 2 days ago at Davos at the WEF, he said, we use this as a test for the takeover of the cashless society. Great point. I'm out of time. Chase Geyser, great job. Everybody, great job. Jay Dyer is about to take over. We got to reboot the computer system so it works. They're messing up. We get him on. Love you all. My Sunday show comes on 4 p.m. Central. Be sure and join us for that at Chase's show, 6 p.m. Sunday Live. Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. coming up in about 55 minutes. Jay Dyer is straight ahead. Please follow me at Real Alex Jones on X. I know, as viewers and listeners, you've heard callers call in and talk about how X3 has changed their life. You've heard listeners talk about how incredible 10-Hour Clean Energy Turbo Force is. Well, both products are back in stock right now. In fact, X3 has been sold out for more than 6 months, but despite that, it is 40% off because I want the people who have never tried the product to try it. Our regular listeners and the folks that have already tried it are chomping at the bit to get it. We appreciate them. But less than 1% of you ever buy a product at InfoWarsStore.com. Go there. Try X3. Get the missing link that's essential to all electrochemical activity in your body. This is the purest, highest quality triiodine out there. You owe it to yourself to get a bottle and experience it for yourself. Takes a few weeks to kick in. On average, get X3. While you're at it, get Turbo Force 10-Hour Clean Energy at InfoWarsStore.com. Both of them discounted right now.
Welcome to the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer, DaysAnalysis.com. Today I have one of my good buddies with me. He is a cartoonist. He is a satirist. He is an impressionist. He is an all-around funny and good guy. And he's kind of been making the rounds lately, been on a lot of big podcasts. He went and had some interesting debates with some figures on the Fresh and Fit podcast down in Miami. It was a pretty hectic, wild situation. There was some beef with a prison man, a bald prison man, fully clean-shaven, I would add, prison man. And his name is Made by Jim Bob. He joins me today to discuss the culture war, to discuss some religious and philosophical topics, to discuss his art, to discuss his idea of a satire. How you doing, Jim Bob? I can't hear you. I can't hear him.
Oh, you can't hear me? Okay, hold on.
I can hear you now. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So is that better? Let's talk about your journey. I think you had a journey out of kind of liberalism into reality, a real awakening. You got really woke and not fake woke. So let's talk about that first. What's your background and how were you? We were in this California woke scene, weren't you?
Yeah. I was in the California default liberal scene for 15 years. Little entertainment here and there, reality television. And then I started cartooning. I had voted for Obama. Yeah, throw the tomatoes at me. And then I started critiquing Barack Obama. That was the beginning of my political, satirical cartoonist career. There's a famous video of him dropping the mic. He always did stuff like that. All I did is swap the mic with a bomb. And suddenly I realized the power of single image cartooning. And so from there, the more I pursued the truth, the further I went from liberalism and leftism. I stayed in the center for a little bit because that's our safety raft away from the sinking ship of the Democratic Party. And then eventually it sends you pretty far right, in my view. That's what happened with me. The more precise and the more rigorous I was with the truth, the further right I went.
Yeah, I thought the actions of Obama were so contrary to a lot of what he campaigned on. And I think, you know, we've seen that with a lot of politicians. Pretty much every politician kind of compromises. But I think there was something wild with the Obama presidency where it just went like 95% in the opposite direction of everything that he campaigned. And it became really evident that he was kind of a banker candidate. Alex made the Obama deception. That was a big hit. So I think a lot, he did wake a lot of people up. Were you at that time questioning anything big like 9/11? Was it just the political domain, or did you start to go into more, quote, conspiratorial topics?
Oh, yeah. I eventually went full on conspiratorial, started people saw what I was doing. A couple of closer friends at the time started asking me basic questions, you know, like what temperature does steel melt at? And suddenly I was like, oh, there's more to this reality. And if I just look a little closer, maybe I'll get more content to make cartoons out of. And of course, you know how it is. Once you dip your toe in one conspiracy, it's pretty endless as far as where else you can go down that rabbit hole. By the way, which I don't think is healthy in it on its own, right? There's actually a disadvantage to going full truther. And we've seen that, too. It leads to all sorts of different heretical views. I think if you're a Christian and you lean too far toward...
You're exactly the problem that we see in America today, okay? I mean, you've gone too far down the rabbit hole. You think my wife, Michael, is a man. She's a beautiful woman, obviously. Clear as day as a woman. Did you go that far down the rabbit hole, or is that too far?
No, I went that far. I mean, you know, it started with something like 9/11, and then it was like, you know, looking into NASA a little bit. Then more on the peripheral things like, does Mike have a lump that shouldn't be there kind of stuff. But a lot of it's not.
Now you're at the level of like every Hollywood celebrity is female to male, male to female.
Right. You might as well just declare that so you're not surprised in the future. But you've seen it with yourself. You know, you probably went down and then you see this whole other subculture of the truther world that really just is trying to find secret knowledge everywhere, that there's always something new to uncover. And I started to see that even though that's fun, that's not necessarily a great life to live. And so I even got some pushback from those people once I sort of turned another corner in my satire career.
So you started kind of getting a lot of traction right around the time of COVID. What were some of the memes that you did that you drew early on that went viral?
Yeah, one of the most viral ones was it was a picture of kids in a classroom with all the shielding around them and face masks and shields on their face. And I think it was a teacher or someone who said, like, you know, homeschooling makes kids socially awkward or something like this. So there was plenty to draw from, whether it was Bill Gates or what schooling turned into, what the workplace turned into. I had a lot of them go very viral during that time. They were very useful. People translated them into all sorts of different languages. And they were just seen by everybody at that point. And so now, finally, I'm getting to the point where you could put a face to the crude images that you've seen.
Yeah, I remember one of the ones that stuck out to me that I first saw was the sort of rainbow blast blasting through people. Yeah. I thought that was really good. Now, beyond a lot of the images that I know a lot of the audience has probably seen, but they don't know, you know, who is behind them. They might not have seen your face as the guy who's doing a lot of those memes. And you kind of have a unique style, kind of an updated sort of Gary Larson-ish style to the way that you do stuff. But you also then kind of branched out into doing a lot of online debating. What I'd like to get into now is some of the topics of the culture war. You've done really well, I think, stepping into this domain, and you do really lengthy debates, oftentimes with atheists, not just atheists, but they seem to really gravitate towards your perspective. What were some of the things that, as you were making this journey, made you kind of start questioning your atheism and the materialism that you had?
Yeah, that's a good question. As culture changes, you know, I used to follow all of these like sort of neocon, basically classical liberal outfits like the Daily Wire. And I always hear these slogans from Ben Shapiro. It'd be like, you know, like politics is downstream from culture. And I always used to say those things, right? Oh, that's a great saying. That's a great platitude. I really like that. But then I started questioning, well, why does it stop there? What's culture downstream from, right? I started asking that question. And ultimately, if you ask that question, you get to an ethical position and you try to ground your ethical position, right? And so the natural follow from that position is that you start railing against atheism and secularism, because ultimately it doesn't care what culture's downstream from. It doesn't really have a foundation. And so I think attacking atheism in itself, secularism, which is informing our culture right now, attacking their foundations or the absence of, is a really it's a really effective tool, as you know yourself, that you just sweep away their entire it's a foundation of sand, isn't it? So when you expose that, suddenly people have access to rejecting atheism, rejecting secularism, because it's
what you're saying is the town is not full of facts and logic. You don't believe the facts and logic of Baba Yaga.
Right. What informs politics is downstream from culture, and what's culture downstream from? Well, you know, brute facts and logic. I mean, it tells us what we should do. You know, it's like, you know, like this is nonsense. And unfortunately, it's largely what our country is kind of founded on, is this sort of, this starting point where all these things are a given, and people like yourself have really shook me awake to going, no, don't grant anything. Don't grant any of that. This was a mistake to grant all of these starting assumptions, like, oh, we just have ethics, or we just have truth, and we just have logic. No, we don't grant that anymore. So yeah, that was a very viral one. That one went everywhere.
Yeah, that one was, people were even using your memes at protests. That's pretty wild. So one thing that happens, I think, and I just did a live stream on this a couple of days ago on my YouTube channel. You guys can follow me there if you want, as well as following Jim Bob over on YouTube, Made by Jim Bob. Here's his channel. You go to his website, too, madebyjimbob.com, and get his stickers, T-shirts, memes.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Whether we like the outcome or we were really good at it, right? Ripped rare. What is it, Jay? Ripped rare. Ripped and rare rich. And,
rich. And rich. Also, yeah. you gotta have a bad bitch.
Right. You got a bad bitch.
Three R's, and then he adds a B, which doesn't fit with the three.
It doesn't. Yeah, the alliteration just falls apart. So that would be the problem. But mostly that first one, that monistic, everything's a giant machine kind of thing. We're all God, basically, remembering that we're God kind of view. These are incoherent. They basically remove the possibility, make it impossible for morality to exist, let alone truth. But morality is something a little more accessible to people when you're arguing against this stuff.
Yeah, I think that's one of the dangers of the obsession of the Jungian type of perspective. I mean, I'm not saying there's no truth in archetypes or that there's no interesting elements in Jungian philosophy and symbology and analysis and all that. But it's kind of just kind of repackaged Plato. When you get really deep into Carl Jung, he's got these really bizarre essays where he basically says Charles Manson level philosophy that Jesus is Lucifer, Lucifer is Jesus, Antichrist is Christ. They're both flip sides of the same coin. It's very dark stuff. And I think you know, that's kind of at the bottom of a lot of the 60s counterculture ideology. It's not really hippy dippy love stuff. At the core of it is really kind of a satanic sort of Crowleyan agenda, if you really plumb into the depths of it. And that's ironic because that's kind of the same ideology that classical liberalism has, which I think is one of its main deficiencies. It's great to talk about liberty and free exercise of your speech and commerce and all that, but the problem is that negative liberty is a very limiting concept. It doesn't tell us anything about positive virtue ethics, what it means to be virtuous. It just kind of tells us hey man, don't cram my style, Mr. Statist. But we need more than that for a worldview. And what are some of the critiques you would make of just kind of a basic bitch libertarianism?
Well, I would say that it's descriptive, right? And then, it's missing the prescriptive. So this is kind of like a performative contradiction they're constantly in. A libertarian basically assumes, well, I'm just describing reality as it is, the natural world, right? And they start arguing why we ought acknowledge rights or autonomy, and they're already in a prescription. They're already making a claim. Even the claim we ought to accurately describe reality is itself arguably an ethical position. And so once you ask them, well, what is it about liberty itself that is is something we should strive for, right? It's like saying we should strive for efficiency. Well, efficiency is a description of how we get to point A and B, how effective we are, right? It's not a goal in itself. They sell liberty as a goal, and this is a big problem with the right side, at least the authorized right conservative ink spin. As we know, this is not sufficient. This doesn't tell us a direction. Like if you arrive at Burning Man and it's flat and there's nothing on the, what do they call it, the playa, that's liberty. You've already arrived, right? It doesn't tell us what we ought to build. It doesn't tell us how we ought to act. It just says, well, we're at liberty now. Great. Well, no, that's obviously not enough. You know why? go walk in San Francisco. Tell me someone, some bum dropping a deuce isn't liberty. Of course it's liberty. That's liberty. So right. That's my main critique over that. Over that, they don't have any. You know what it is? They have rights. They assume rights, but you ask them about their duties, and they have a blank look in their eyes, don't they?
That's because you don't understand, Jim Bob. There's an alien presence, and that's Hermes Trismegistus, okay? And he's down here doing rituals, okay, Jim Bob? Do you understand that?
I wanted to know what you think about, because this is getting really popular. Of course, you know, that was probably one of the biggest interviews of the year was Cat Williams, both on Joe Rogan and on the Shay Shay podcast, talking about the kind of demonic elements in pop culture, especially the rap industry. And it turns out, oh, guess what? Rap isn't actually a bunch of masculinity, and it's actually fake and gay. There's a bunch of, like, you know, gay sex rituals. And, you know, Cat Williams kind of dropped all of this a few months ago. What do you think about pop culture and the demonic, the satanic? And is it all actually fake and gay and compromising people, kind of mini Epstein? Blackstein is basically what we had with Diddy.
Yeah, I don't know how much is like focused satanic ritual. I know that must exist. I mean, I've seen things when I was in Hollywood that had me question whether there was an actual spiritual realm going on there, which I'm now convinced to what extent that is the case, or, you know, to what extent some of it is just sort of adopted culture itself. I'm not sure how to split the hairs there. But certainly there's an element of humiliation ritual, you know, honeypotting, you know, blackmail industry where you basically break people down. Right. And you get them to a sort of a blank slate, a blank canvas, and sort of rebuild them. I think they sell a lot of these people who are eager for fame and power on a lot of different ways in which they could maintain and gain that power and wealth and status. And they kind of just get, I think they just buy into the game of it. And maybe they minimize it by saying, oh, no, it's not really like that. We're just playing a game, guys. Well, obviously, to us, it's not a game, that there's something demonic and spiritual about this. It's warfare. Whether they know it or not, it is spiritual warfare.
Yeah, I mean, why is it that they kind of across the board all promote the same, you know, anti, you know, family? They're anti-natalist. They all push the same, you know, moral degeneracy. It all, why is it always the same Masonic and satanic imagery and symbolism in all of these videos? It never deviates. There's no, you know, other way to be edgy. It's almost like the only way to be edgy is to be more degenerate. And then the next layer here's the Doja Cat video where basically she's baptized into the sort of Luciferian black goo. From, you know, evoking The Shining, and then she basically becomes demonically possessed. She's got an all-seeing eye on her head. And I know that this is just trying to be kind of edgy and shocking, but the point is that once everything gets really super degenerate, the only way to be edgy and shocking is to do the next level of degeneracy, and that's kind of the way evil works.
Absolutely. I use an analogy. Like, let's say there's an art school, and the teacher announces that they're going to do an art contest, and it's going to be judged. And someone raises their hand and says, oh, great, what is the standard by which we're judged? And the teacher says there's no standard. So if there's no standard, right, for the good, for what's beautiful, for what you're striving for, like you said, the only thing you can do is be very crude, loud, disgusting, and you have to make up your own standard. And you know, so being the loudest, being the most obnoxious, being the most provocative, it always ends in, you know, feces, throw up, upside down stuff, you know, like even early on, Picasso, you know, you put the nose on the elbow, and you put the eye on the shoulder, and you're basically just kind of like rearranging thing. It's like Dadaism or something like this, but in the music industry. And I think you're right. If there's no standard, the only way to be noticed is to be completely disgusting and push the boundaries, because there's no standard. So that's the standard. The standard is no standard, you know, and so be loud and gross.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is constantly push any boundary to rebel against any standard, but that's just a totally postmodern nihilistic...
Postmodern!
The postmodern nihilistic, you know, breaking of the boundaries, and it basically destroys meaning. It's actually a war on everything wholesome and good. This is the Alex Jones Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with satirist, cartoonist...
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veterans. Nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
To the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. This is Jay Dyer of jaysanalysis.com, and I'm here with my good buddy, satirist, cartoonist, debater, funny man, creative man, Jim Bob. And we're talking about things in culture. We're talking about his journey. We're talking about what's going on out there in the media world, what's going on in the spiritual world. And we were just talking about kind of the demonic in society. One of the things that's overlooked is this idea, and I'd like to touch on this with you because we've covered this in podcasts that we've done, this idea of multiverse and this idea of simulation theory. I think they kind of relate to each other. They overlap in ways because these ideas are getting really popular. A lot of people are pushing this. David Icke called me out the other day saying that simulation theory is really the answer to what's going on. In fact, it's the cheetah O-ray. It's the cheetah O-ray that are mind controlling us. They're the archons that we need to break free from. Jim Bob, what are some of the problems that you see in terms of adopting sim theory or even multiverse as a worldview?
Well, I mean, right off the bat, when you say this is a simulation, bro, you have to question the claim itself, because how would you have this privileged position epistemically, a fancy word for how would you have the knowledge that it was a simulation? Because you'd have to be outside of it to point to it. And so it's like saying, you know, it's the same problem with like the multiverse. Like the moment you say there's another universe, well, you've just brought that new universe into this one. So now there's one again. And so the same problem with the simulation theory, like who has this privileged vantage point to point to what is the simulation? And by the way, what is not the simulation? They wouldn't have an answer to this either. So there's a logical problem right there. It violates the law of identity. But other than that, it assumes that there's what we know about simulations is that there's a coder to simulations. What is being simulated? Well, this other thing that looks just like this. Well, is that a simulation? It's endless regress, essentially. It keeps pushing the question back. You know, well, what before that? What before that? So there are all a whole set of things that need to be true for the simulation theory to be true. And those things can't be the simulation, right?
Yeah, I think it's also really an ethical dilemma, too, because if this reality is a simulation, there's nothing really inherently morally wrong with deleting people within the simulation, right? I mean, I'm not actually hurting anyone if I kill them, if I pillage and rape and loot and murder, because it's really just simulation. So if that's the case, why would it be wrong, or why would there be anything binding us ethically against doing those kinds of actions? It's no different than deleting my character in The Sims. There's no basis for ethics in this. And oftentimes we'll get sort of appeals from those people to kind of really generic ideas like, well, we got to be love, bro. We got to love everybody. We got to be, you know, at peace, man, or whatever. But there's no reason why love and peace aren't also part of the simulation and things that we can discard at will.
Yeah, the weird part about that, it's a bit ironic that if you were to be a part of some outfit or agency that's spoke against, you know, the Depop agenda and all these, you know, nefarious activities from these NGOs and governments, the worst position is to take a simulation approach, which would be like, well, like you said, under a simulation view, why would it be wrong to do Depop, population control? I mean, there's nothing, like you said, unethical. It's basically software and hardware management. Like, it's no different than cleaning your hard drive, in a sense, getting rid of some things that are on your desktop. They just happen to be people with families.
Do you see, we might think of simulation theory or even New Age stuff as kind of cultish. What about the rise of witchcraft? This is really popular amongst girls and teen girls. It's all over TikTok. Why do you think girls are being driven to that? And what are some of the major critiques that you would have of like witchcraft and you know, these sort of more esoteric cults?
I would say to the first question, why is it, you know, that women go toward that? That's a sort of a substitution for the absence of a church, which is probably a symptom of a weak man not taking the woman and guiding her to a church. They're going to find their own church. It's in the form of a coven. And I think what else is in play is the entertainment industry. As you've covered for many years, the influence of mainstream entertainment, TV shows, Charmed in this arena, Charmed and all of these things, they're really geared toward this, the young female, right? Making witchcraft and dark magic sexy. That's you're gonna get attention from this. You're gonna get status if you're into these kind of practices, even if you don't even really believe in in them, right? You're going to get some sort of social status. And I think that's a problem. Like, there's a lot of places a woman could go, whether it's OnlyFans or witchcraft, that is really just a symptom of another broken thing that that men are, in a sense, failing them at, is leading them out of this stuff. Because if you don't lead them out, they're going to just find their own church. They're going to make up their own theology. And now in a state of luxury, obviously, decadence and luxury, modernity has really made a fertile ground for people just picking up mishmashed things, right? Mishmashed, like Russell Brand. He has every conflicting tattoo of every symbol on his body. It's a feature of decadence, I think, and it really does affect women, right? Because they don't need, there's no obligation to have children and be a mother. They have to pursue their own cool stuff, and now they're rewarded for it.
Exactly. In other words, I think what you're hitting on there is that this is really an outgrowth of feminism. And, you know, we've had Rachel Wilson on here on the fourth hour. Jamie, my wife's come on, and we've done some critiques of goddess worship and feminism. And that's promoted in the culture and the pop culture, I think, to socially engineer particularly women. What are your thoughts on feminism? What are some of the critiques you would have there? I know it would overlap with what we just talked about, but I see really feminism as kind of the root of all that.
Yeah. Yeah, my critique of feminism is that it just rests on a flawed assumption that's not descriptively true ever in reality, that men and women are equal. They're just not equal. Like, this game of, like, even rights and this concept that everyone's equal, if it's not from a Christian paradigm, which is to say we're all equal and that we're made in God's image, which points to our duties, equal in the world is just descriptively false. The problem with feminism or egalitarianism right from the start is that if you were to say we ought maintain this, you're already using force. You're already assuming force is in play. Well, if force is in play, men are in play. Men are the predominant, deployers of force, right? So it's already a lie from the start. And so everything that's come from it, now we're seeing feminist men. Now we're seeing feminist approach to Christianity. Now we're seeing, you know, all sorts of tweaks to feminism applied to different spheres of influence, political and non-political. And it's really based on a lie. If you ask them a simple question, who's going to enforce any of this? They point to all the men, right? And so, you know, there's no such thing as egalitarianism.
Exactly. Do you remember when it came out that, you know, one of the more prominent male feminists, Joss Whedon, who was, touting himself as this mega feminist, and then it came out that basically that was just his cloak to try to get laid, and all the women that he was trying to placate, they all just basically outed him and turned on him, and they Me Too'd him. So, yeah, I mean, it's a weird phenomenon to see quote male feminists. I want to get over to the experience that you recently had in the red pill domain, where you went and had a pretty epic, I guess you could say, debate with some guys on the stage there in Miami. I was there at that event as well. And we'll talk about that in a second. And then you went on the Fresh and Fit podcast and had a pretty interesting debate with a lot of ladies on there. But before we get to that, I want to talk about our upcoming event, which you will be with us in Las Vegas, June 22nd. It'll be me. It'll be Jamie Kennedy. We'll be doing some stand-up open Q&A. Our buddy Isaac Weishaupt, who does a lot of podcasts on Hollywood, occult symbolism, and pop culture. He will be doing a talk on Eyes Wide Shut. My wife, Jamie, will be doing a talk on Hollywood occultism. I will be doing a talk on espionage, blackmail, and the dark forces behind our power structure. That will be June 22nd in Las Vegas, and Jim Bob will be there as well. So he'll be on the panel with me, and we'll take some questions, and you can come meet Jim Bob. Get your tickets over at the Eventbrite link on my Twitter, on my website, everywhere you'll see that. June 22nd in Las Vegas, get your tickets there. It's a six-hour event. It's going to be a lot of fun. They'll have a book signing. We're going to have meet and greet. We'll have all of that, and everybody knows our events are basically like parties. It's an infotainment party. You can bring your own alcohol. It's going to be a blast. Go get your tickets. We'll be right back with Made by Jim Bob on the Alex Jones Show.
Have you heard the warning from the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here
on, and... lady. Get a move
Goodness.
On. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Alex Jones Show. Remind you to get your tickets to our event in Las Vegas there, as you see on the screen, June 22nd. And then Jim Bob will also be there. He is a addition that we've made to this event. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're talking about culture war. We're talking about spirituality. We're talking about the false philosophies and worldviews that seem to be duping so many people out there. Yet at the same time, the good news is we have a mass awakening. Many people are beginning to question their false views, beginning to think, hey, wait a minute, maybe God does exist. Maybe I need to seek out, the Bible, God's existence, Jesus, spirituality. What church do I go to, et cetera? Another domain that we haven't touched on that we kind of were dancing around is the red pill sphere. And the red pill is this male reaction, we could say a legitimate reaction from the guy's sphere against things like feminism, against things like you know, women being CEOs everywhere, women being every HR department, every manager is some overweight woman barking orders at you everywhere you go. Every teacher is a woman. And so I'm not saying that women can't do certain jobs at times. Proverbs 31, I think, lays out a good pattern for, yeah, women can be involved in business and doing these kinds of things. But is this really the norm in society? We have this red pill reaction to it, which has some truth in it. But is there a kind of a, so what's missing in the red pill, Jim Bob? Because you were just at a big event and you were up on stage and that got a whole lot of views, a lot of attention, a lot of viral videos came out of that, clips. What's the main critique that you had of a lot of these red pill guys, and what was that debate about?
Yeah, my main critique is that there's an ethical position and there's no foundation for what the male's duty actually is. The red pill, admittedly, it's sort of their defense, very similar to libertarians, where they say, well, whoa, I'm not making any ought claims here. I would say from a position, a Christian position, that is a key element of being a man. You don't just sit back and describe things accurately. You actually have a duty to push things in a certain direction. And I think that's ultimately missing. The funny thing about that event, and you probably were laughing a lot in the back there, Jay, is that someone like the West character, the bald yelly guy, he really is the sort of epitome. If you don't have any duties and if the red pill is about high performance and only high performance, you're not going to get much a different caricature than that. I mean, I feel like that's almost a blessing that he showed up to represent what the epitome of this view actually produces, which is materialism. Collect things, teach other people how to collect things, buy stuff. Now, this is not a statement against buying things, having nice things. Fine. It's just that that's not a goal in itself. And so that's a massive missing. And ironically, they kind of that whole sphere ironically kind of inhabits a sort of meninism. Like if there's feminism, I think there's a male version of feminism. And I think not everybody in the sphere, right, to be fair, it's just that in that red pill space, they end up kind of embodying a feminism for men.
And what would you say to somebody who says, well, but we got to do that, right? I mean, if the feminists are against us and women are taking over society, and why shouldn't we band together and create meninism and fight back against this?
Well, I would say that's on a false starting point that, you know, I would just ask why. Toward what, right? Why? Like I asked the guy on the panel, why is it important that you can afford a Lamborghini watch, right? Why? Right? Toward what? And so I'd ask the same question. Like, if it's an obligation for men to band together, right, from a Christian position and sort of, you know, assume structure in society that's proper and good, at least there's a standard there to appeal to. There's an authority to an appeal to. There's a way in which we can move forward with that. From this other view, toward what? Let's say we band together, Jay, and me and you, we just abandon our theology and we just start collecting, you know, Bugattis, right? Did we beat the women? Right? Did we beat them? Like, let's
well,
say
isn't it, ironically, isn't it? I mean, we often critique women of being materialistic, vain, you know, caring about these ridiculous, overly priced brands of, you know, mm-hmm. stuff that's probably made in China, right? Isn't this just like a male version of the same type of consumerist collect brand name stuff?
That's right. It ends in men picking out leather purses, like literally not even like I'm not even kidding. Like they have like fancy bags.
Right? Like
yeah, that. yeah. Dude, we got to get some of those jeans. You know, we got to try. We got to at least try it.
It ends up in hedonism. And it's like, so yeah. There's no ethic here. There's no basis for virtue. It's just hedonism. I mean, isn't that the root of what we are critiquing oftentimes? Oh, women are hedonistic. Women are materialistic. Well, this is just like the exact same version of that. And it's not that it's wrong to have nice things, or it's wrong to try to be physically fit, or it's wrong to, you know, be successful in the world. It's rather that you have to put these things in kind of their proper place. And if there's no God, if it's all just, you know, attaining status for who and for what purpose, really no purpose to it other than what, for pleasure? I mean, so if the pleasure principle is all there is, then life is ultimately meaningless. And what's the point of even pursuing pleasure at all?
Right. And the irony there is if it ends up being hedonistic, then there's nothing wrong with the women pursuing, you know, the same thing from that view. Freedom, liberty, doing whatever they want, OnlyFans. Guess what? Those chicks, quote, kill it. You know, they're rich, rare, and ripped, right? They just happen to be in front of a camera, you know, getting paid to do all sorts of horrific things, right? So that's one of the main things there that I've brought up to even some of the key leaders, let's say, in the red pill space, is that you push them back on their ethics. Like, if there's no ethical view, if there's no ethical foundation, right, why would you be mad at any particular outcome so long as it, you know, it produced like wealth, an accumulation of assets? Why would it matter if it was degenerate or not from that view? It wouldn't matter.
That's a great point, right? I mean, what if I'm doing degenerate acts, but I'm getting rich, ripped, and rare to get the degeneracy is like fueling my ripped, rich, and rare.
Right.
Isn't Joss Whedon killing it? I mean, he might not be ripped, but he's rich and rare, but he's killing it with his feminism. So is that count? I mean, you see how silly this is, right? That's like, there's no standards to any of this. And if I'm a really successful feminist, then I'm doing well.
Also, if you took their standard of how to judge how well you're doing, it's very awkward and weird to try to apply it to the family. Like, what is your kid? Like the best, you know, rare kid, like you treat them like these features, like these objects on a shelf. My
infant is ripped, rich, and rich.
Yeah. My cat is, you know, like everything, like that's just a materialistic lens. You're viewing things as objects in the world, including your own family. That would be the contradiction as soon as you ask them about these things. That's why that guy could not deal with the questions Andrew and I were asking him, because they were meta questions about the game, not particulars about the game. And so they get, by the way, that's a great way to expose these people, is you ask them meaningful questions that force them out of their little myopic view of collecting items like Pokemon, right, and Lamborghinis. And you go, okay, what's ultimately here, though? Like, what's the purpose? And they can't tell you the purpose. The purpose is to sell you another program to yell at you until you're ripped, rich, and rare, right? And then, you know, you're back at square one, right? So.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to collect Garbage Pail Kids, and then I thought I grew up, but it turns out, no, all I really needed to do was just keep collecting Garbage Pail Kids.
Right, yeah. You could have been on that panel if you had done that, Jay.
I wonder what would they have done if I brought my Garbage Pail Kids to the panel, and I'd be like, well, I collected these, and I have, like, the first edition. So does that make me, like, is that a lead? Or anyway, I want to know too about your experience later, because you guys went on a podcast then and debated with a lot of these ladies. What was that experience like?
I mean, the whole theme for me, Jay, was it was kind of like funny. It was like places I don't really belong, but maybe I belong there for that reason. You know, like the question from that we have to ask ourselves constantly is, are we obligated in a way or to go into these spaces that are, you know, ultimately kind of gross, right? And is there any duty? Is there any good that we can do in that space? And I honestly think it's possible. I don't know how likely it is where it's fruitful and it actually impacts people, but it is certainly fun to go into the sort of alley space, the dark alley space, and see what can be done as far as confronting these terrible positions, these terrible behaviors, pushing back on these women who think it's totally fine, selling their bodies until their bodies are no longer in the shape they're in, and then what do they have, right? To what extent we're effective, I have no idea, but as far as the experience, I tried to make it fun. I tried to be joyful in battle, and ultimately it was surreal. I'm sure from you could imagine, Jay, it's surreal to be in that environment, because there's a kind of a, I guess there might be a performative contradiction on our part to be in the muck, but there's also, right, you know, maybe not.
I think it's beneficial at times. So I want to remind everybody to go check out Made by Jimbo. I want to see a cartoon of a rich, rip, rip, rare baby with a bad bitch. That's your next cartoon. Everybody have a good day.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
There is nothing more frustrating to me, whether it comes to news or anything else we're doing, than to know I'm telling the truth and to know that you'll just listen to me and take action. It will change your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we have two great products that have been sold out for a long time. They're now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. X3 is the highest quality iodine, the missing link. It is back in stock, 40% off. And so is TurboForce, 10-hour clean energy, naturally released. It is amazing. Both of these products fund the InfoWar. So they can be placebo and it'd still be great because you're funding InfoWar. They're not. If you'll just try TurboForce, you'll see the results in 30 minutes. Incredible energy for 10 hours without the letdown. But if you will just take X3 on average for about 2 weeks, you will see amazing results because it's the missing link. X3 and TurboForce, both discounted now for a limited time at InfoWarsStore.com.